Live from Plant Lab in Austin, Texas, this is Stacker News Live!
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl with BFF Keon. Keon, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm very tired. I was up late last night trying to review my own code, which is hard. But, we did bit devs yesterday, or scores. We did bit devs, and I attended with the help of Bitcoin Plus Plus's, I think they call it a clubhouse, which is pretty great and a great location. Really cool, like funky vibe. I like it. Anyway, how are you?
Keep stalling. I gotta fix this.
I wasn't stalling. It was
for some reason my thing got closed, and I gotta fix this real quick.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't really have much else. So what else? There were tacos.
How was
there.
Your week?
I was already said.
It was boring.
It's always boring. I mean, to other people, to me, it's pretty, like, you know, it's maybe exciting, depending on how I feel about it.
Yeah,
but it felt pretty good to me.
It's probably because I switched it to 1080p right before the show. I think that's what happened.
Oh, like messed up everyone.
Yeah, for the stackers listening at home, we went up from 720 to 1080 now, so now you can see us.
Well, how was your week?
Hang on, let me get this last one open. It was good. It's super busy. Okay, keep talking. Let me see real quick. I got this one. There we go. I got this one.
Rob from Anchor Watch was
got this one. I don't got this one. No, I do got this one. I got this one.
Well, okay, I don't think we're supposed to say who went to Bit Devs. Never mind. I do think he docks himself on the on the X, and but it was like a real, it was like a relatively small crowd. It reminded me of going to a Bit Devs in like 2020.
I knew you were gonna say that.
yeah, and I thought that.
Yeah,
was...
Ted came in and said it was the. Well, he said that he didn't say that, but I said that he did say that. He said it was the best Bit Devs he's ever been to.
Yeah, that isn't.
I
what
was
he said.
Shocked.
Yeah, but
I was like, whoa. What's going on? But no, yeah, he said it literally. But then again, Ted didn't go to the old Bit Devs, the ones in Coopers and stuff. So I could see how that could be the best Bit Devs he's ever been to.
He said
that Scoresby like did an amazing job, which makes me wonder. Like, oh wow, I didn't know. I knew Scoresby's great, but I didn't know he was going to be that good.
No, he did do a good job, and he did it alone.
That's what Ted said, yeah.
Yeah, there was no one else to co-host with him. I mean, except we were all kind of, there was a small enough group that a lot of people chimed in. Again, Rob from Anchor Watch chimed in, who knows a lot about Bitcoin and Bitcoin's history. Lisa, obviously, there was a miner there who was in town for, I think, like the energy summit going on at Bitcoin Park. Who else was there? There were a lot of people who knew things there and were kind of co-hosting with Scoresby, but it was pretty good. I think one thing that might be true is that maybe for Bit Devs to kind of keep going or not lose momentum, we should rotate out hosts.
Is that what you guys decided yesterday?
No, I haven't finished my train of thought. We should like Bit Devs in each city should rotate out hosts maybe yearly or like every 2 years. So I think it's just a lot for the same person to do month in and month out, and maintain the level of enthusiasm that keeps an audience, attention. And then it also allows people to hear different perspectives on Bitcoin. Because one of the things that Ted told me after, when we were on our way back, was that, and so did Nick, is the topics that Scoresby picked were, you know, still on topic for Bitcoin, but diverge from what you would get from other hosts that they've seen. And I think it's just true of anyone who runs Bit Devs, they're going to have their own bias towards certain topics. And I think that is probably makes for a healthier bit devs to have that kind of term limits on running a meetup. But yeah, that's all I got.
I think we tried to do that with ABC, and I think it worked, but you know, some people didn't hand the baton over, and that's the problem, is like with doing meetups and stuff, is like unless you have somebody that's actually like dependable and reliable, it's just hard to get somebody to commit for more than 5 years, which I think Buck and Ben did an incredible job for 5 years. That's a long time to do anything. So
no, huge respect and hats off to them for keeping it up. And
but I think
it's a lot of work.
I think what you're saying makes sense in theory. Like it makes sense in theory, but in reality, it never happens. Just from what I've seen.
Yeah, I don't think really anyone has tried to rotate out a meetup, like meetup ownership or hosts, very regularly. That's
the problem. Is like you'll have like somebody that wants to control it, and then they won't relinquish control, and then it becomes a whole thing. That's kind of what happens.
I think in many, at least, I think with a lot of BitDibs meetups, I'm not sure. Seems like a crowd that isn't really looking to control it usually. I don't know about other bit devs.
Not in Austin.
Austin's... You might know more about that. I don't.
Well, what happened? Did you guys get Parker there?
I think he was invited like everyone else. I mean, no one made him a direct invite.
There you go. I think that kind of explains
it. But he doesn't go to all the bit devs, so I don't think that says anything. Unless you think it does say something, in which case
we've talked about it behind the scenes, about like how much this is, a coordinated group of people that are controlling the bit devs in town. So I don't think that's like surprising. I think everybody knows that. Like, but I think what you're saying, like trying to get people to swap in, swap out, I think that's just. It sounds good in theory, but it's kind of hard just in reality, just because people have lives and you know other things going on.
But I
think what you're doing makes more sense. I think what you and Stacker News and Scoresby are doing makes a lot of sense. Because maybe you have to just create another whole thing and then try it again, but different.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, there's a lot there, but we're not trying to create a whole new thing. And it's mostly they weren't doing bit devs anymore, so they didn't want to do bit devs, at least for now, until they sort some stuff out. So we were like, well, we can do it, and Lisa has a space that she wants more people to be doing stuff in, and it's a cool space. And I thought, you know, we had an awesome meetup, and then we got to talk about Bitcoin with other people, which is kind of what bit devs is about. So that's I think the main mission behind it. But and then I independently had this thought that wow, this was quite a bit different and had a much different energy than the other bit devs I've been to over the last year or two. And I think it's related to just, you know, needing to like having new people discussing Bitcoin who maybe aren't like super jaded or, you know, think about Bitcoin in one way and communicate that same point of view on Bitcoin for years and years and years. I don't know. That's just like a...
So you're saying it was all jaded before?
No, I'm saying that it probably... I think there's a reason why we have presidential term limits and like political term limits. Mm-hmm. And I think the same applies. It's an empty bottle.
Mm. Knew I needed a couple more beers. Yeah, I think it's cool, man. I think it's cool. I didn't get a chance to go because I was at the Open Agents party. But I'm looking to attend next month if you guys have it again. And yeah, hopefully it does what you guys want it to do. Yeah. You got any other thoughts on it, or you want to move on to the show?
I'm done.
Okay. If you've never seen this radio show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top three stories here on Stacker.News. The first one. Oh, here, actually, then pull this up. If you've never seen this crazy show, go to Stacker News Live YouTube channel. You click on this and you see all these videos that Wumble's making, and you can see the ones that's being broadcast right now. We started uploading more shorts on here. So click on them. They're like bite-sized morsels of Coob and Car. Hopefully not jaded. Hopefully pretty good. some actually it might be
jaded. Maybe we should take our own advice and rotate people out of this show.
Some might be jaded. Yeah, it's pretty good. Check it out. Hit subscribe. Swap. Do all these things. And yeah, you'll like it. Let me go over to Stacker News and we'll cover the top three. Here we go. All right. So the first one is, when did the internet become so poop? This is from Chung King Express. May 20th, 5,878 sets. Keon, what's this?
Yeah. So Chung King Express expresses some negative sentiment towards their experiences on the internet. Maybe they hadn't been on the internet for a while or had recently had reason to reflect on their experience on the internet, but they seem kind of disappointed in their experience. Chung King Express is a writer, and so they do a lot of writing online, and I think that might be related. Someone who's more interested in like kind of the long form internet, the slower, even though the internet forever has been charged as like the shortest attention span place in the, like, as far as like locations or venues. It used to be more conducive to long form and is increasingly, maybe at least the really popular venues are not conducive to long form. And I think there is some feeling of change that maybe a lot of us don't like so much. So that might be part of it, is that as a writer, as an enjoyer of long form and a producer of long form, feeling like the internet is shifting towards the content that they don't really like and to suit consumers that they think are shallow. And that's kind of what it is. Kind of goes and lists off all of the places that he is kind of upset with, the kind of the slop algo on Twitter and like the rage bait machine there. Reddit's kind of, occasionally you find a really great Reddit thread or a community on Reddit that has somehow isolated itself from some of the effects of some of the bigger ones that are nice. Instagram, they say they find Instagram still pretty useful, but not as useful as they did a while ago. Maybe just got, again, like too oriented towards like algorithmic dopamine driven slop. And then it's very self-aware where he's like, I'm getting older and things are changing and I don't like it because I'm older and he's like, I'm a millennial. But the reality, the truth is like things don't always get better. They can get worse. And I'm not sure if this is, it's definitely changing. I'm not sure if it's worse or better though, but anyway, it's just a kind of an interesting post for anyone who is either nostalgic for the old web or kind of disappointed in their current internet experience.
Yeah, we had the top comment from Billy the Kid. He said, part of what I enjoy about SN is the variety. Your posts fit just fine. My general impression is that most humans are becoming a bit more soft and complacent than usual, and I hope the trend turns soon. Solomon Toshi said, I have found SN rather hostile to dialogue on different viewpoints. For example, my themes of highlighting China's relative, oh Lord, God bless him. Keon, what do you think? What do you say to Solomon Toshi, who says it's hostile?
I don't really know, but I do know that Solomon Toshi trolls people and spams threads and copy and paste the same content over and over again on Stacker News, and I don't think he should be surprised that people do not like that. But I don't think they're hostile towards certain topics as more, and it might be that he is you know, that what's that saying? It's like, if you think everyone's an asshole, it's more than likely you're the asshole. I think that might apply here.
We had NPub1, Zapsat says, mainly SN and Oster, snoopy a bit on X, but never post there. I'm grateful to have Bitcoin in my psyche. Otherwise, don't know where I'd be. Have you looked at PubKey? Was designing a rival to Noster and was shilling it last year. Not sure if it's still going. And you need invite code to get in, or you did. Apparently, relays are not the move, according to him. I never bothered with it, but if you're looking. And then Chunking says, thanks. I didn't know about PubKey, but I'll check it out. Or I found these links. You think there's any other places like PubKey or, I don't know, other places on social media like Reddit or like
Substack? I like most venues on the internet. You just have to be able to suck yourself out of them and not get stuck in them. I think all of the ones listed have their good parts and their bad parts, or like their modes that you can use them in. Like I use a lot of lists on X, and that allows me to escape the kind of sloppy videos that it wants to serve you for dopamine purposes. So I think there are probably a lot of smaller communities. Occasionally I land on an old forum. The other day I landed on a forum that's been around for like 2 decades that's dedicated to motor oil. It has thousands of people on there discussing motor oil. And so there are these places on the internet. They're just not surfaced on, they're not serviced in Google. They're not serviced on, I mean, X tries to pretend like there nothing else exists on the internet. That's probably part of the problem. But they're out there. I use Kagi for my search engine, and I tend to get results that orient me toward more like an older, better internet in some ways, where it has less ads and it's more small web oriented. Like they have a slight bias in the algorithm. I think there's still lots of places on the internet, no matter your tastes.
Yep. Good post, Chunking Express. Every time I see his username, I think of like Chinese food. I don't know why.
I think it might. It's some. I forget. I've asked them before because I was on his podcast. I forget.
I think it's a movie.
I think it's a movie. It's an anime, or
I haven't. No, it's a. It's like an indie film, but I haven't seen it. But it's on my list. I think it's called Chunking Express. Let me just double check real quick. Chunking Express. Yeah, it's a movie. I just haven't seen it yet. Supposed to be really good.
Yeah. I mean, everyone shouts out their name in the thread usually when they see it for the first time. They're like, oh, your name, is that from this?
The number two top story this week is Instant Lightning and Debit Card Top Up Mini App using Satori.io. This is from Roland. 856 sets. Keon. What's Roland building this week?
Yeah, so I guess Satori.io used to be called Lindasat, and they changed their name. I think Lind and the name is weird, so good on them for changing the name. They're like a swap service that allows you to take Bitcoin and turn it into a variety of shit coins. And it looks like Roland, with some Albi NWC stuff, has managed to pair Satori NWC and I think some kind of debit card issuer, and on the spot he can top up a debit card with Bitcoin and pay in fiat in a variety of places, and that's kind of what he's demoing here. That's what he's made. I guess he's using a service for the debit card. He's using a service called 2Fiat. And I think they went out of business. These services notoriously just go in and out of business or change dramatically depending on regulations and how much fraud is getting committed on them at a certain time. So there are people in the comments who say that they've been rugged by that service, and Roland themselves said they went out of business, or they like stopped providing this service specifically 2 months ago. So anyway, still a nice, a nice kind of interesting use of these technologies that exist, stitching them together to make themselves something useful that makes their life as a Bitcoiner better.
Yeah, I think it's really cool because it kind of shows that that a lot of this stuff would have been like big news on the conference stage 2 or 3 years ago, And now it's just like, you know, created in an afternoon or however long it took Roland to make it. Just kind of shows you how far we've come as far as like the ecosystem. Really cool stuff. The top comment was from Unboiled. Or no, I'm sorry, from Blockchain Book. He said, two fiat rugged me. Just turned off my car and I can't access my account anymore. Before two fiat, I was using the Bitcoin company prepaid business card. I placed an order. The time it takes to buy the card, manual steps to add it. I used to keep a small balance of two fiat. I'm glad I zeroed it out. How do we know this isn't a scam? And then Roland came in and said, thank you for your thoughts. Did the Bitcoin company prepaid card work for you? Apple Pay now is pretty easy to set up.
Oh, it looks like Satoru works with Apple Pay. Okay. So that's what he was doing there.
And we are thinking of maintaining a directory of cards for Bitcoiners that have actually tried. Okay, cool. So maybe Albie at some point will have just like some other interesting, it looks like a directory of a sort for builders to just kind of pick and choose. Yeah, it's almost like, it almost feels like Albie needs to build kind of like an AI studio, kind of like what Google's doing.
Well, they already built one.
Well, we'll talk about it later in the show. I have it on my list. Really cool stuff. Yeah, we had Roland on for the rodeo, the AI startup rodeo, and that was like one of my favorite talks. And I met him at the conference in Vegas, and he was a really cool dude.
Yeah, all the Albie guys are swell men.
Let me go into... Where's the other one here? Yeah, number one story. The number one story this week is your phone is about to stop being yours in 107 days. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, it looks like Google is changing a policy decision with regard to apps that it allows on its operating systems. And it's going to require any Android app, not even just apps through the Google Play Store, but ones through F-Droid and other app stores, they're going to require you to register as a developer like you do on iOS. And you'll have to, you know, basically KYC, sign up with them, pay them. And then if you don't do that, if your app is attempted to be downloaded on someone's Android phone, it'll be blocked from doing so. So that is that's going into place soon. I know I've heard about this stuff or things like this for a long time. I don't know if this is related to legislation.
Will Google or will Stack or News be? Will you be caught in this kind of thing?
No, as a PWA, as a website, we do not have. I think there might be certain laws or. At least we're not affected by this specifically, because as a website you run in like a sandbox that is under Google's control, which is like the browser, and so we deal with all kinds of restrictions already, just trying to run on a browser. And maybe, but then you have Google trying to do that that thing where you have to like prove you have one like an iPhone or an Android phone. They're like recapture 3.0 or whatever. So maybe no one's safe at some point. I don't know, but. For now, this seems to affect native apps on Android, basically moving to a regime like Apple, where they know who every developer is who's developing apps on their operating system.
Yeah, it looks like there's this website called keepandroidopen.org, and that's kind of what we're showing here. There's an open letter, there's take action. I'm not surprised. I feel like this has always been the mission for Android, and I think this is just par for the course. At some point, somebody will make something open and then just kind of take care of itself. I don't know. The top comment was from, let's see here. Proof of work fitness. Besides buying a new phone, is there anything I could do to not be affected by this and still use my phone? Yeah. And then Lux said E Foundation. Have you heard about the E Foundation?
No, I did look at it briefly when I was reading the comments there. It looks like another operating system, kind of like a graphene, something designed to run on Android phones or other hardware. I haven't used it before.
There's also Zap.store. I don't know if it's, is that still open? Zap.store. Let me see here.
Yeah, that is an alternative app store, but it doesn't matter.
No, it's not open. Zap store.
Even things,
Zapstore.com? The Zap.store? It was one of those. Well, this is really sucking. Yeah, it looks like Optimism said, check out Graphene. I don't know. Install Graphene. We got a couple people saying install Graphene. So maybe install Graphene, and then you're able to just send it straight to your Graphene phone from the laptop.
Send what?
An app that you build, or an app that you can download, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, because Graphene is like a port of Android that removes all these restrictions or improves security and privacy within the operating system itself. So, yeah, you would not be subject to these things on something like Graphene, but I think this is mostly about the average person who's running Android who's not going to go and like flash their device. They're not going to be able to experience a lot of great apps that are free and made from developers who maybe don't want to pay Google, don't want Google to know who they are.
Yeah. I knew this was going to happen at some point. I think next they're going to come for YouTubers, and that'll be the next thing they come for. But right now, it's what I've been talking about for 3 years. I've been saying it for 3 years. They're going to start taking down content. They'll come for that next. But this is getting towards the final countdown. Yeah. This is the world we live in now. Yeah, so that's unfortunate. But yeah, you have 107 days. You've been warned. And stay tuned. I guess Hasher Stacker will at some point probably keep chirping on this in the tech territory. We'll see. That was the number one story this week on Stacker.news. We're going to jump into Wumble's picks. Wumble's picks. Can you believe it? It's Wumble's picks. Wumble, every week, he picks a story for Keon and myself to ask questions and ponder the facts of life. This is the wonderful world of Wumble's picks. This week, Wumble pick, is it cheating or smart to use AI? A parent's dilemma about AI and college exams. Keon, did you read the story?
I did read it.
What'd you think about it?
NPub1 Zapsats has a daughter who is in college, and I think they're in their second year now. And I think they're taking their exams online. Or maybe it's in person, but they were recommending to their daughter they should use AI to assist them during their exams. And they were saying that their daughter thought it was dishonest to use AI during their exams and preferred to do it the good old-fashioned way and not, not have an AI think for you when you're paying to test your own thinking and make your own thinking better, which I think makes sense. And they kind of had a reaction to it, like, oh, maybe I'm thinking about this wrong, or maybe there's two sides to this. Where is the line? That's what this is kind of about. It's like, how should we be thinking about use of AI as it relates to school, as it relates to like broader categories of things? And that's it.
All right. Well, Wumble, he had a question. He said, what guiding principles would you teach your kid to help them determine when to violate the rules of a test? Keon, you have kids. What would you tell them?
I would tell my kids that don't exist, that that it depends on your goals and it depends on the context. But if you're going to school to learn and learn things that aren't prompting an AI, you probably don't want to be using AI. But if you are going to school to get a credential and a piece of paper so that someone else thinks that you have thought and you don't particularly care if you've thought, maybe it's not. Maybe that's an okay thing to do. I think it just really depends on your goals. And definitely you shouldn't use it where it is dishonest to use it. you know, like I think the best example that I have are some, a lot of people say AI, using AI in their writing and their online posts and stuff. It's like, they're just using a tool, man. It's like using a calculator. It's like using a word processor. It's just a tool. And, you know, Photoshop, in my opinion, Photoshop is just a tool. And so you could apply that same argument to me making a photo of myself and putting abs on my body and saying, this is me. And that's basically what people are doing with their writing and some of their other content that they're producing online, is saying, this, these are my thoughts, when it's, they're not their thoughts. They haven't thought about it at all. And they're just kind of copying and pasting outside of an LLM. And so I think they're, you know, not to say that there isn't utility in having LLMs do thinking and assist thinking, but there is a fine line between that and pretending that you are the one doing the thinking when you're not. Yeah, that's kind of all I have to say about it.
I would say, what guiding principles would you teach your kid to help them determine when to violate the rules of a test? I would tell them never to cheat on a test, for sure. So that's step one. As far as like the AI stuff, I just feel like it's more like a tool, and if you use it like a tool, it's fine. But you have to have like a foundation of like, you know, of the arts, of music, of like creativity, of critical thinking. And I feel like you should have a foundation of things. I was at a baby shower last weekend, and I won't say who it was. One of the people didn't know how to read cursive. And it was for the first time ever, I like it. Cause I guess did you learn how to do cursive and stuff? Yeah. But apparently there's like a whole vast of people that don't know how to read cursive. So it was like somebody gave them a card and they couldn't read cursive. So that just kind of shows like, where this could go, you know, if, you know, in the future, if you're not, obviously that's just cursive, but that's just one little, you know, little grain of something that could turn a different way if we start over depending on AI and LLMs and all sorts of things to do the critical thinking for us to make the stuff that we needed to make, because we could get a point in the future where it's like they don't know how to determine, like, you know, what's real, what isn't,
it's already
what's factual, what's not, all that kind of stuff. That's my biggest fear with all that stuff, but that's why it's important to teach kids critical skills. Yeah, really, really good one, Wumble. Yeah, you got any other thoughts about that, Keon?
Nope.
All right, we're gonna jump into your post this week. We got the Square Terminal train wreck. What is this?
Yeah, so Jason B posted this today. They went to a merchant, or I think a restaurant that they really enjoy, wherever they're located. And they have a Square terminal there. I think that's how they originally discovered them, is they were on btcmap.org as a place that accepts Bitcoin. So they went and paid with Bitcoin there today, specifically Lightning. They were shown the Square terminal with the QR on it for, I think they were buying a drink or a beer or something. And they scanned it to pay, and it was appearing like it wasn't going through. So then the merchant canceled it. But right when they canceled it, the payment did go through. And then on his side, it appeared that the money had been sent and the payment was successful. But on the merchant side, because they had canceled it at this like coincident point, the merchant did not receive the payment. And so it appears that Jason B paid Square, but not the merchant. So the merchant didn't have the money. So anyway, it was just like kind of a bad UX for everyone. And Jason B had to pay again for the same good, and eventually did go through. But now there is now you just have an instance of a bad user experience with Lightning, and it was, you know, kind of a bummer.
But do you think there's a way to fix that, or?
Yeah, it's just like they have some kind of race condition that allows you to both accept a payment and have it recorded as not going through. And I think that they'll probably come up with a way to solve that. That was my understanding. That was, I mean, that's a big motivation why you'd want something like LDK, other than like scale, is you have a lot more control over your interactions with the Lightning Network and the things that are happening on the Lightning Network's relationship to your other data and the metadata for your transactions and stuff. And so it looks like this is probably just a bug and something kind of anomalous happened.
Yeah, I feel like you always run into this just even with fiat payments. Like how many times, I can think all the time, where like you put something in the gas station card and then it like overcharges you and then there's like this wait. So that's been a thing. Or like you go, you know, put a start a tab and then they charge you and then the releases, or you go to a hotel, they charge you. It's just like all this stuff. So this sounds, doesn't sound as bad compared to some of those other things. When I think of something like this, it's just like, oh, it was a beer. Not too bad. No one got hurt. Didn't hold your money. Didn't hold all your money for like 80 hours or whatever. So,
yeah, it certainly could be worse. And it's not like fiat doesn't have problems too. So there is that.
Yeah, cool. The next story that you had was... Let me go here. Happy 2026 Bitcoin Pizza Day. What's this?
Oh, yeah. So today is Bitcoin Pizza Day. We celebrate another year of Bitcoin Pizza Day.
Where it's supposed to be a B.
It is a B. I think it's a Bitcoin B. They have like the orange dyed cheddar.
It's like DiGiorno.
On top of some other frozen pizza. Or maybe it's just a homemade pizza. I don't know. It actually looks kind of weird shaped. It might be a homemade pizza. Yeah, very early in Bitcoin's history. I mean, I know the story, but I do not recall it off the top of my head. Someone paid what was $40 worth of Bitcoin for someone else on the internet to pay for them to have two pizzas delivered to their house. And at the time, I think it was like 2010, maybe 2011. It was like roughly 10,000 Bitcoins for two pizzas is what they paid. I think that might be the dude.
No, he's the one that got the Bitcoin.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, so every year we celebrate this moment.
That's the guy who fed his kids.
There you go.
He was gonna feed them anyway. I mean, it was either gonna be Bitcoin, paper, or plastic, at least back then. So those kids got fed that day.
They got fed, and it only cost them 10,000 Bitcoin.
Yeah, and the rest are some photos that they're sharing on Bitcoin Pizza Day. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
I was telling you earlier, I've been eating pizza all week, so I'm kind of pizzaed out. I had some really good meatballs last night at the party. You're freaking amazing. I wish I could have threw them on a pizza.
From where?
They had some catering at the party.
Do you know who catered?
Yeah, it's the normal guy that we use all the time.
Oh,
not him. Another one.
Not Frankie. Not Ochoa.
Not Ochoa. Yeah, another guy.
Okay.
But yeah, it was good. Good pizza. Good pizza. Good meatballs. It's been an interesting week. Have you had pizza today, Keo?
I have not had pizza. I'm considering having pizza later.
Are you gonna go to DiGiorno or Domino's?
I probably won't. I don't know. I was looking at there's a few new pizza places in Austin that I haven't tried.
The Onion's pretty good down the street. That one's a good stop and grab. And then I'm a big fan of Rapolo's. I eat that pizza all the time.
Yeah, there's some late night spots.
Domino's too is pretty good.
Yeah, I would say those are all like probably similar level quality. It's like you're drunk, you're hungover, you just want to put things in your mouth. That's what I call most of those. But they have their place. I'm not to disparage them too much.
I think Rapolo's is slightly better than drunk pizza, I would say.
Yeah.
Domino's definitely drunk pizza.
Yeah, and so is The Onion. I mean, they're all kind of billed as late night pizza joints. So I think
it's pretty good.
It's like in there.
Or what's the other one down on East 6? The one with the thick one, the one that you like, the crispy ones?
Via 313.
Yeah, that one's good. Double cut, triple cheese. Double cheese, triple cut.
Double cut, extra cheese, double cut, extra crispy.
Yeah,
that's how I order it. They're good. It's a lot. It's like more bread, but a Detroit style pizza. But there's like a Chicago deep dish place that opened up like last year. I don't know. I might get something, but pizza day. It's pizza day.
Yep. The other one. Oh no, that was it. Let's jump into the AI stuff. So this one is the Albi one I wanted to share. The one we were talking about earlier. So new Albi Hub got released. May I play?
New Albi Hub release.
There's somebody talking. But yeah, it's a whole new redesign. Simple on-chain Lightning wallet. A lot more connections with AI in there as well too. It's a whole thing, Keon. It looks really cool. I was checking it out this week very briefly. I haven't had time to play with it, but it's very cool. What do you think about this stuff?
I think it's great. I use Albi Hub every day. I use it for my connection on Stacker News. I use it as my mobile wallet connecting to my node at home. I haven't really done much else other than use the wallet part, but I'm really happy with that. It's kind of all I kind of need it for. Yeah, I've had a great time with it.
Yeah, I think it's just the best. I haven't played with any of the agent stuff yet. That's on my list of things to do, but I want to play with it. I have a machine set up just for it. But yeah. Have you played with any of the AI agent stuff on Albi Hub?
No, I haven't. I think I'm on an older version of Albi Hub. I also don't. I personally don't see the point of it as we've discussed on this podcast several times. I do not think that. I don't think agents are going to spend Bitcoin more than humans do.
But it's there if you guys want to give it a shot. There's some different. Little small improvements like labels, simpler connection as far as like just improving the flow of it all. Really cool stuff. I feel like Albi's kind of like at this point, it's been such a short year, but I feel like at this point they just kind of ran with the AI thing, which is really cool to see. Really great, talented team there. Cool stuff. Drop feedback for Albi here on Stacker News. They have their own Albi pay or Albi profile. Big fans of Albi. The next one I wanted to share was let's keep going AI. The other one was this one. So I don't know if you saw this, but now you can build native Android apps inside of Google AI Studio. So this is what I was talking about earlier. It's kind of funny how all this just comes out at the same time. But now you basically can just prompt any kind of app that you want and just install it into your device. But it makes me wonder, do you think you're still going to have to dox yourself and all that stuff, or is that just for development?
Well, if you're making apps for yourself, you might be able to avoid that, but you know, it might not be a coincidence that these two things are happening at the same time.
That's what I was thinking.
A huge wave of slop apps that destroy people's devices, and they want to be able to hold people accountable, the developers accountable, who, you know, destroy people's lives because they're distributing software that is carelessly written.
Yeah, or they can ban them and not. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. They released this. I think they had an event here this week. I thought that was interesting. This got released, but it's a one prompt kind of thing. And then you just hit publish and then it sends it off to the Google Play Store, Abyss or Google Play Store. I've used Android for like 1 or 2 years, but I've never thought about using Android seriously, to be honest, outside of graphene. Have you ever been a Google Play?
Yeah, there's a few years where I was, I went off of iPhone and used an Android phone, and I was fine with that. It seemed okay. It was a little spooky. relative to my iOS experiences. Like they made a lot of suggestions that one can only make if they were gathering lots of data on the way I was using my phone. And in many ways that was helpful and nice to have services that were that predictive. But it was just kind of off-putting. And eventually I switched back because I didn't really see much difference between them. And I liked the iPhone form factor better. I felt like the hardware was better. And that was enough for me to switch.
Looks like you're going to be able to do it on more things later. So it looks like you're going to be able to do it on your Pixel Watch if you have one, on your Pixel Fold, and then start connecting it to maybe other types of devices that are connected to your phone. Looks like there's going to be an explosion. Is it called a Cambrian explosion of apps? I'm wondering, like, where does this actually go? Like, where is this actually going? I guess at some point this just enters the OS, right? I mean, at some point you're just like basically vibe coding apps on your phone on the fly. What do you think? I mean,
I would guess, I think there might be some of that. I just don't know how much of that people will actually want to do. If it's anything like it is currently, it's not. I don't think anyone will want to do that because it's actually quite hard and quite intense to even get something working. Even if you're like a full slop vibe coder who doesn't know what you're doing, it's still a lot of effort and like requires high attention and on a relative basis. But I would guess we'll see a lot more people producing apps like this who want to like monetize that attention and effort they put into prompting something.
It almost feels to me when I see this kind of stuff, it almost reminds me of like when music went digital, kind of reminds me of that, where it's like now all sorts of things start opening up that you can't even think of. It's just like remixes of copyrighted material. all sorts of things, download of illegal ones, all sorts of things that you could probably see. It kind of reminds me of that taking place right now, but for development, which is interesting. And it seemed like the only thing that actually stood the test of time was actual big brands and big bands, or at least back then, big bands, massive bands. Crazy stuff. The other one I wanted to share was, where's it at? So this one took center stage this week. This got shared on Stacker News. Is it today? No, a few days ago. So over the weekend in Austin, there was this like, well, let me jump into this first. So apparently this is kind of going on right now. Americans are smashing Flock cameras. For people that don't know, Flock cameras are a surveillance camera that tracks your audio and video. And I posted it here on Stacker News because knew we were going to go over it. But there's people that are...
This is what one man can do.
There's people that are kind of... let me see if I can... Yeah, there it goes. They're just kind of taking them down like that, these Flock cameras. And they're kind of doing this in the middle of the night. There's all sorts of vandalism that's happening. This is mostly just in Europe right now, in London. But you're seeing a lot of this. I put this inside the show notes if you want to take a look. Kind of goes into a little bit more. They interview some of the people that are doing this in the middle of the night, and they ask them questions, and it's pretty crazy stuff. With all that being said, A16Z made a post this week, and I should throw this shout out Carter from last year. He actually posted this on Stacker News. Didn't really get a lot of comments. Got a significant amount of zaps. But he reported on this first, about this whole kind of ULEZ Blade Runners moment. And he also posted this in October again. And so he's been kind of following it on stacker.news. But to go back to the previous one that we were just at, A16Z released a post this week. Oh, man, really? I can't see it. Let me go back here. Maybe it's under Knitter, maybe. Yeah, here it goes. So A16Z released a post this week talking about their investment into Flock and like what they're trying to do. It seemed like almost like a straight show because this was off the backs of what happened this past weekend in Austin when a group of teenagers basically shot people in broad daylight on a Sunday afternoon and Saturday evening, just kind of terrorizing the community here in Austin locally. I think I definitely felt it was kind of like in bad taste to release an article like this. And as you can see here, let me go back here to this one. Another thing that happened too as well is people were saying that Flock was the reason they captured these kids. One of our people in our community did point out that it actually wasn't Flock that caught those kids. It was actually just a person in the community that caught them. And this is him kind of talking about it.
I heard sirens and all that. My dog barking, got up, SWAT up and down the road, went down to investigate, come to find out they're looking for three fugitives. And they were
kind of looks like Thomas Massey.
I told them they can enter my grandma's house if they needed to. Nobody's there, along with Barnes and all that. They advised me to go back to the house and hang out. I kind of somewhat did. As I went home, I noticed my barn doors were open, which I did leave open.
So he's describing where he to go ahead and clear he saw them, the group of teenagers and then how he held them up at gunpoint.
That's nothing out of the
and he was the one that actually
spring into action like
was actually the one that actually caught them. And you know when you and one of them ran off because he couldn't detain them. All three of them.
I'm more what's going on.
So that all happened. So, and then the sad part to all this is like people got hurt, people died. This is just like gut wrenching, dude. I don't know if you saw this, Keon. Let me share this tab. So this guy was just kind of, let me pause this other one here. So this guy was just kind of walking home last week, walking his dog. And now he's in the ICU because those group of teenagers just like shot him for no reason off of Ben White in their stolen car. And this all happened over the weekend here in Austin. It was pretty devastating. I was kind of shocked that all this spread in South Austin, which, because there's like, for people that don't know, there's like two sides of Austin. There's like I-35s in the middle. There's the west side of Austin. And then there's the east side of Austin. This was on the east south side of Austin, which has notoriously been just like a bad place in general for as long as I've lived here. But what makes matters worse is like we've never seen anything like this, though. This is just insane. So a lot of people got hurt. And now people are left wondering, like, should we turn back on Flock? And that's kind of what the governor's been talking about. That's kind of what everybody's been talking about as far as, like, the conversation around what happened this weekend. Keon, I go to you. I guess let's just kind of start at the top. Like, what did you think about when you saw all that stuff over the weekend? I know you were probably just working, but...
Yeah, I saw it like sort of after it had happened. You do get those like amber alerts, or they're like a different color alert for this kind of thing. Because there's no pedophilia, I don't think this time. But I saw those alerts and I went and looked at what was going on. Strangely, they were like, look at our X account to figure out more about what's going on in your city. So I went and looked and saw this was happening. And then I later also heard about the Flock camera thing. I think it's mostly Andreessen Horowitz, who's probably, I think, you know, one of many large investors in Flock, they were kind of promoting this perspective that it was really a failure of law enforcement and the city to enable their Flock camera systems. they claim that they didn't have visibility. You know, they didn't have total surveillance of the city. So how do they? How do you expect it to fight crime when you don't have total surveillance of everyone? It's. I mean, it's not. It's actually not a bad. You know, if we do lose all, if everyone loses their privacy, perhaps there are agencies that will do the right thing with it and fight crime with it. It's a matter of trade-offs. Is it worth it? And it's a matter of will the technology actually achieve better outcomes in reality, or is it just a marketing line, more or less? I don't know. I don't like cameras everywhere. I think I would rather we hire police officers who want to do their job, and people, you know, human beings to make judgment where they're in the context where things are happening, rather than, you know, in a remote data center, spilling Coca-Cola on their keyboard and telling computers who to arrest and murder and stuff. So I personally prefer it the old fashioned way.
Yeah. I don't see there, like, I think we just need better parenting. Like, let's just go back to, because to me, it feels like the Ozempification of, like, hey, let's just give you a pill and you lose weight, or, hey, let's just, do this and here's free money now. And it's just like, it's this all feels very kind of a band-aid over the actual cause, which is just like better parenting, better schooling, better neighborhoods, better people, better community. I mean, it literally just starts at home, man. Like, I don't know the answers for all these things, but I do know that this is outright, like, demonic almost, that like these groups of kids went out there and did this.
It was one group of kids, but yeah.
Yeah. It's demonic. It's the most demonic thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's definitely like, nutty.
It's like, why would you just go and shoot random people for no reason? It makes no sense. It absolutely makes no sense at all.
I haven't kept up with it, but I would guess there are drugs involved. And I don't know, like the kids' ages and what their backgrounds are, but I would guess they've been behavior like this strikes me as something that isn't the first time this has happened. So I'd guess this has happened before. They might have been institutionalized before and somehow were let out.
And thank God this guy found them and was able to at least hold them till authorities got there. So, I mean, it is just really upsetting. I'm just really upset by the whole thing. I think it's just very sad. I think we need to start praying for our kids, start praying for these families, like this guy. Now he's in the ICU. I think there's quite a few people. Like, I think there was, I didn't see how many, but it looks like there was quite a few people that had gotten hurt from this. Let me see if I can pull this up here. It was definitely more than it's definitely more than just some of the photos that we saw. But anyways, And then I think one of the other things that you saw was just that there's just a lot of just very low level effort to. Where is it at? Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, it's all other things. Yeah, it's just gotten bad. All kinds of bad. But check it out. Thanks for the HN bot. We got some updates on this stuff. Was there any other updates on Sacramento News? I didn't see anything on the Austin stuff. Do you know?
About flock cameras or?
Yeah, just like the incident that happened.
Oh, no, I didn't really follow it much after they caught him.
That's all the stories that we have this week on Stackard. Oh, no, actually, we're going to go to my stories real quick. So I wanted to cover this one. This was a post that Bitcoin devs posted on the Bitcoin territory. So Chaincode Labs has showed off its boss challenge and its portfolio projects. And yeah, if you don't know what boss challenge is, every year Chaincode Labs puts together like a cohort of builders, potential builders who want to enter the open source space in Bitcoin and Lightning. And they do like a 2-month challenge, and there's like a whole Discord. It's very lively. And then shortly after that, they start putting them on projects and stuff like that, and they start assisting them. And these were the ones that were created. Bitcoin Purr. And it looks like they're all stackers here. Or no, this one's
copy and paste from X, yeah.
Yeah, and then we got Light Client Block Filter Research. And then we have some Root Scope, some Super Scalar, Scalar, Traffic Analysis of Post BIP 324, some Dust Cleaner, some Node PageJoin Demo. Yeah, check them all out. They're all right here. This is a really good post. And yeah, did you see any of these, Keon?
I did see them. I haven't looked deeply into the projects or what, like the usually what I'll look at when these kind of things are announced are like for overall themes, like what are people see, like what's the zeitgeist of people who are building things in Bitcoin right now? But I haven't looked at it close enough to really say that, so, or determine that.
Yeah. But yeah, check it out if you guys are interested in some of these projects. Definitely support any of these open source projects. Maybe you can contribute to some of them. You have a GitHub. And then the other one I wanted to share was C-Link, our boy Justin Shocknet. He got the C-Link offers inside of Zeus. Scoresby posted this last week. On the 18th. He said, I saw a note from Evan on Nostr this morning, and he's experimenting with C-Link offers. So there you go. This is cool to see. And then Justin, of course, put it here at the bottom. He has a TLDR. It says, C-Link gives you a permanent Lightning payment code and offer that works like a Bitcoin address, but smarter. The old way he has here says LNURL line addresses. He said, the C-Link way is everything happens over normal Nostr DMs, just for everyone's static string. Wallets and websites use that to fetch invoices. It also sends a payment receipt back to the website. Can react. He says, as a receiver, you could include that string. And he kind of goes through here. He said, then kind of goes into all the other stuff. That's pretty much it. And then at the bottom, he says, a great day for Lightning and therefore the world.
Yeah.
Thought that was great. Good to see Shocknet. See that C-Link push. Keon, have you tried C-Link? Or you probably have with the Stackr News wallet, huh?
Yeah, we have it. We have C-Link implemented in Stackr News' wallet. I haven't used Shock Wallet myself with Stackr News yet, but I am familiar enough with the like constructs behind it.
Cool stuff. We'd love to see it. Maybe we'll get somebody to do a full video demo on it. We'll see. And that's all the stories that we have this week. Covered my two. Oh, we got a zine. But it's a snooze. Keon, you got any extra insight into this?
I do not. I saw this post just like you did, and I guess we're not getting one zine released today.
You heard it here first. We're going to jump into some meta. This one's from Scoresby. What is this one, Keon?
Yeah. We're doing Scoresby, Billy the Kid, Totally Human Rider, and Siggy 47 got together and pooled 400,000 sats for a Bitcoin History Month. During June, stackers will or can write a history piece about Bitcoin, either like Bitcoin meme history, a biography of a Bitcoin OG, a travelogue, you know, their own experiences using Bitcoin, really anything, you know, maybe stuff about old mailing list shenanigans or old Bitcoin core code quirks or whatever. And so you can write those and enter them in the month of June, and they will judge them and pick their favorites, and 400,000 sats will be awarded to them.
Wow, 400,000 sats. That's a lot of pizza you could buy. So some of the examples they have down here, it looks like they've made some already.
Yeah, so these are ones that people have done without a contest. We have Siggy's Freed Cat. He also did the Mircea Purcell one. Scoresby's History of the Wrench Attack meme. And so those are some examples. We've got a number of them, though. We've covered many of them on the podcast, so they tend to do pretty well on Stacker News. People
look like
people
it's covered really up like when I click on this, though.
Oh, those links are broken. If you scroll, if you scroll into the comments, they...
Oh, they fixed them.
Yeah, they link out to them where they're fixed.
All right. Well, get on it, Stackers. Free way to earn sats. Love to see it. And we're going to jump into the top Cowboys. Keon, giddy on up.
Giddy on up.
Yeah.
Top Cowboys. There you go. Love to see it.
Yeah, it looks like another exciting week of more or less the same people in the top 10. Definitely had, over the last few months, we've had some people fall out of the top 10, but...
Really? Like who?
It's hard to tell. I don't know, but...
Oh, like all the people in hiding?
It does seem like some people have fallen out. It does seem like... I know Coins Reporter fell out. I think there were a handful of others that did not maintain their hat and fell out of the top 10.
Do you think they got... Do you think they got discouraged because they didn't get a hat like Grey Ruby?
I don't think that's it.
How think close were they? To getting a hat?
I have no idea.
You hate to see it. Got a real Bitcoin doggy making his way up there. He's at 14. 21 days.
Wow. It's a long way off of getting a hat, but a real hat, that is. But you might get there. He sticks to it.
I got Roland. Oh, there you go. Roland's coming. 4 days.
Hey,
into the mic. 4 days. Peter Todd. Maybe Peter Todd will get it. Look, 3 days. Ba-da-ba-bum. Who is going to be the last one this week on the Cowboys segment? Ooh, even Sox lost a sat. Yeah, got to get a new one.
It's not easy.
Looks like it's FB2A. He just sees a new stacker and he just posted. There you go. Save the money, save the world, start with children. There you go, Keon. He's the last cowboy.
There I go.
Well, good stuff. Keon, that's the end of the show. What are you going to do this weekend, Keon?
Yeah, I don't think I have any. I don't think I have any plans. I might watch Blade Runner. When you, I think you titled this thing something Blade Runner, and I haven't seen. I only watched the new Blade Runner one time.
Wait, have you seen the old Blade Runner first?
I have seen the old Blade Runner.
Which one did you see though? Because there's two versions.
Two versions of the old Blade Runner.
Yeah, there's like the Ridley cut, which is like the director's cut. That's the one that you should see. And then there's the. There's the one by there's just like the normal one that got released, but there's two versions.
Oh, then I probably
see the director's cut.
Okay, I've probably seen the one I shouldn't see. And I probably
That's not the same thing.
Okay, well, I want to watch the new one.
The new one's really, really good. It's probably the best sequel since like Terminator 2, I would say.
Ah,
at least in my book.
Dang.
I saw Pitch Black this week. That was a really good movie. I forgot how good that movie was. I don't know if you ever seen that with Vin Diesel.
Pitch Black. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good movie.
Yeah, I think I recall that being okay. That was around the time they did Fast and Furious, right?
Yeah, apparently I was reading the YouTube comments. Apparently, like, it was because he said no to doing Too Fast, Too Furious, which is part two to Fast and Furious. He said no to that. And then he took less money and went and did Pitch Black instead. And then he ended up owning the franchise for Pitch Black and Chronicles of Riddick. And apparently they're making a new one. So
Ooh,
I'm excited. I've seen almost. I think I've seen every Pitch Black movie by Vin Diesel. They're all really.
There's only
good.
Two of them, right?
No, there's three. There's the Chronicles of Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick, and then there's just called Riddick. They're all pretty good. I think my favorite one is obviously Pitch Black, but it's all that whole world. I don't know. I'm a sucker for sci-fi stuff.
Cool. Well, what are you doing this weekend?
I have to work because I'm going to Mexico next week. So I have to work and get some stuff done before. Probably have to work Saturday and Sunday. Get some stuff done. And then be able to have everything in front of me by Monday. Yeah, so I might have to work a lot this weekend.
Yeah, that should be fun. I always enjoy that.
Oh, what is this whole UFO stuff? You guys, I have the aliens UFO territory muted, so I never see this stuff. Is there UFO files and stuff on here?
Yeah, the government has been releasing these UFO files.
Have they really?
They were talking about, yeah.
No. Really? And are they talking about it on the territory? That's hilarious. Oh, wow. What is this? Dude, really? Oh, man. This looks like total vibe coded stuff.
Oh yeah, this is straight out of Claude.
Yeah, this is probably what they're using. What is that thing called? Mosaic or what is it? Mythos thing?
Yeah.
Here, let me see this. What is this? Should we hit play?
If you want to. There's not a whole lot. It's like a, you know, it's like most,
it's an actual alien that comes up.
Most of these UAP videos where it's like this. You know, you have a flying dot of some kind.
Pathetic, dude. You made a whole website for this. This is what we're spending our money on.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, this is the second. I guess this is the second. I think there are more videos, but this is, I think, one of the more.
This is lame.
One of the more interesting videos.
Is there any good ones in here? Are they all pretty lame. That looks like just somebody had a flashlight.
Yeah, they don't have like any, you know, like gray men or whatever. You know, they don't have.
Wait, does the territory been sharing them? Okay, so. Release number two, lots of videos. Okay, here we go. We got some. Oh, no. Oh, man. Let me go back here. Hang on. I want to get to this. This is just looks too hilarious. Have you looked at any of them?
I watched that one video just to kind of see what was up with it. And I don't know what to make of it. It's just, you know, it's something moving pretty fast and in a weird way.
So here's another one. Is this the same one that we saw? Yeah, this is crap.
But yeah, it's like it's unclear to me how big it is. Like the context is difficult to understand. Like why the contrast? What does it look like under normal circumstances? Is it even visible? Like how much of
this is like
related to UAPs and UFOs.
Look, it's just a number on there. Is this a taken of the spacecraft or something? Like these documents they found on the spacecraft? This is crap, dude. This is not proof of anything. Look, it's just a piece of paper. I'm very disappointed. Yeah, these just look like somebody took pictures at a post office. So it's just only two videos so far?
No, I think they've released a number of videos and other images that are kind of, you know, that aren't really conclusive in any way. That aren't like, this is an alien and they're here. You know, we haven't had that experience.
Oh, there's this one. It looks like a very fast pigeon. Let's see another one. Oh, no, that's the same one. This one's in Greece. Oh, here, this one maybe. Maybe we'll see something here. This one looks like it's out of an airplane. Yeah, that looks. Yep. Yeah, I don't know what that is, dude. That kind of almost, you know what that kind of looks like? Do you ever see that thing in your eye where it's like sometimes you can see your
thing?
It kind of looks like that, but on the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not impressed. Do you think these are aliens? Do you think these are?
I don't really know. I mean, I think it's that's all. That's where we're at with this kind of stuff. It seems like that no one.
Wait, was that just a blob? Yeah, I think these are just camera defects, from what I can tell. Here's one, maybe.
A little too consistent for camera effects, I think. Yeah, see, there's like a
thing. That looks like a missile. Go back here. Let's see that again. Yeah, that looks like a missile, dude. Okay, so they have a lot of videos here. Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't tell these things. Oh, wait, this one's getting closer. But how do we know it's not one of our aircrafts, though? Or somebody else's aircraft?
I think they know where all of their aircrafts are.
But how do we know it's not like another country's?
I think they don't know.
Why do we just go straight to space?
Why don't we go straight to
space? No, but why do they automatically think it's like a...
Well, I don't think they said anything about it being aliens. They're just unidentified. What is it? Unidentified aerial phenomena. That's all this stuff is.
Yeah.
And could be aliens, could not, could just be...
I think this makes me want to watch Disclosure Day even more. Did you see the trailer for that? That's what this makes me want
to watch. Is that the one by...
Disclosure.
What is his name? The director?
Yeah, so I saw the... Where is it?
It's not Shakespeare. It's not Seinfeld.
It's Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Yeah, look at that. This is what that wanted. This is what that makes me want to do. Watch Disclosure Day. It's going to sell a lot. It's going to make a lot of money. Because I think this, yeah, see, they have all the footage in this one, but this is the kind of stuff that people expect to see. But what we just saw right now looks, I didn't see any crop circles or anything.
Yeah, a crop circle just happens while you're there.
Yeah. Anyways.
Stackers, when does that come out?
Oh, when does this one come out? In a couple of weeks, actually. Yeah, then they like talk through her mouth. It's a whole thing, dude. Yeah, this should be really good. I think this just amps me up. Go into the, what is that, war.gov? Just amps me up to watch this movie. Should be good.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, see, even her eye is a UFO. Look at that.
Whoa, what if it's just, it's all in our bodies already? Or just the aliens
are inside? What if we're the UFOs? Look, you even have the guy from, oh man, look. We got swatted. That's what happens when you start sharing too much crop circle stuff. You get swatted.
Is that Spielberg in his own movie?
You see they're doing like brain tests on him to make sure he's not an alien. This could be good, dude. Oh, I thought that was a little alien. I was like, damn.
It's definitely going to be good. I don't think Spielberg.
Yeah, I don't want to watch anymore. I want to be shocked. Anyways, have yourself a great weekend, Stackers.
Zap. We'll
see you next time.
Keon. Zap.
There you go.